sure it is. And when I have nothing else to do, basically is what people are trying to tell you. When there's nothing else going on in my life. Do you know how crazy the world is that we live in now? How many of y'all have just where there's just absolutely nothing to do? Has anybody got to that place? I mean, you know, if you ain't got nothing to do, come see me. Man, I'm put you to work at my house in a hurry. If you got nothing to do. I mean, there's something to do. There's people, man, I mean, we're running up and down the highway. Last Saturday, man alive, I probably put 250 miles on the car. This week, we went back and forth. We're going, and people's in the hospital, this and that going. There's always something to do. But people say, but that's what they really are saying with their excuses. When the kids are grown, when the cat dies, on and on and on and on, of all these things that can go on. There's always something, some kind of thing that they can latch onto that's going to keep them from following Jesus with all their heart and soul. I'm going to tell you what, it's a pitiful thing. It's a pitiful thing when that takes place in our life or in a person's life. And, but through the Bible, I looked at there's a lot of people that the way we look at it, they had the greatest built-in excuses of all time, and yet they still followed Jesus. They had natural-born, built-in excuses not to follow him, but they still did. And I looked in there and just went through the thing in Matthew or Luke, one of the two things. And, you know, I was looking, there was some lepers. These guys had leprosy, and the Bible said they sought him out. I mean, they went looking for him. You know, a leper was a bad deal in that day. You had to walk around with your finger over your lip saying, unclean, unclean. Everybody parted like the Red Sea. They got out of your way. I guess getting through the crowd wasn't a problem. And but, you know, you were outcast. People looked down on you. People were afraid of you. They ran away from you. I mean, being a leper, you probably didn't feel good. Depending on how far along in the disease you were, you probably couldn't walk good. You couldn't handle anything good. I mean, you know, you just had a physical problem that was a physical problem. I mean, this thing was to death. It was lepers, but it said they sought out Jesus. They looked for him. I mean, they put an effort into getting to Jesus, any way they could. And I mean, they sought him out. There was two blind men, it said in Matthew 20. And they sought Jesus out for healing, which also usually in every time when Jesus did any healing, it was also included, salvation included in that. And it said after they healed him, is in Matthew chapter 20, after they were healed, they were blind now. Now remember, in that day, they didn't have seeing eye dogs. They didn't have people with white canes. I mean, somebody had to help you probably to get to them. But they wanted to get to Jesus, and he healed them. And it said, after he healed them, and here's a whole other message. You could preach a message all night on this, right? It said they followed him. Huh? Oh, man, I've had people come. Oh, Lord, I mean, I need to get saved, man. And then they get down here and they get in for a little while, just a little run. They get in and they start coming and they're interested and they want a Bible like something. They want a Bible and then they want to, they'll come on Wednesday night. They'll show up on Wednesday night, maybe a Sunday night. And boy, then you get baptized and everything. And then like 2-3 months, listen, we had as good a revival time last year in March and April and May, man, we had 24 people saved during that span of time, at least made professions, and that, man, and some people were coming. And man, but I'm going to tell you what, there's a bunch of those, several of those people that are not in church right now, to my knowledge. Nothing happened. They didn't get mad at nobody. I didn't say nothing stupid and run them off. I mean, nothing happened. I mean, they just fell out, man. It's not. And so what happened? They come for salvation. They come for that healing. I've had people come down to the altar and, I went to the doctor and I got cancer of some kind. And we pray with them and everything. And then they go back and the doctor either takes care of it or even had cases where I went back and they couldn't find it and said I was okay. And then a couple months later, AOL, face on the milk carton, call the state police, find out where they're at, what's happened to them, anybody seen them yet? I just, it's a whole different deal. But these two guys, they were blind. And the Lord healed them. Just think about this. You hadn't been able to see all your life. And all of a sudden, now you can see. We owe Henry Paul, what's Henry's last name? Boynton. Okay, I'm right. Henry Boynton, he's blind and he comes and tunes our pianos. And he can play instruments and stuff. He's a real nice, real soft-spoken guy. He likes politics and stuff. He's pretty smart. And I talked to him in here, and he said he listens to me on the radio. See, I'd show you how smart he is right there. But I asked Henry one time. He was blind. I said, Henry, I didn't want to offend him, And I said, Henry, let me ask you something. I said, I want to know if I can ask you some questions about your blindness. I had an idea for a message. He said, no. He said, that'd be fine. I said, well, have you ever been able to see? He said, no. I said, what can you see? He said, if you stood in front of that window right there and it's really bright, I can kind of see a shape. that's there, but I couldn't tell you who it is, and that's about all I can see. If you aren't backlit really good, I can't see anything. And I said, just think about this, Henry. I said, man, when you get to heaven, the first thing you're going to see, you know, the first thing you're going to ever see, you're going to see the glory of God in heaven. I mean, that's going to be like, now you imagine, just think, even in this old corrupt world right here, if you were blind, you've been blind since birth, and you're the age we are now, and all of a sudden one day you could see, what would you want to do? Man, everything. You'd be, man, look at that thing right here, and look at this plant. Good night, man, that is the neatest thing. I never seen what green, that's what green looks like. I was wondering about that, and boy, look at these pews, and looking at this building, and say, man alive, look at that face. I didn't know what ugly was, but I do now. I mean, just think of all the stuff that you know. You'd be just like the stuff that you and I take for granted. Look, there's a cloud. Look, there's a cat. Look, there's a rug. You know, I mean, just the stuff that we take for granted. You'd spend years looking at that. You got a built-in excuse not to worry about following the Lord because you just out there in la-la land. Huh? Look like somebody from the 60s. I see it too. You know, I mean, that's, you would just be amazed. But these guys, they got their sight and they said, hey, we're following Jesus. We're going to follow Jesus. Man, I mean, they were, you know, they wanted to follow him. They had a built-in excuse on not to follow Jesus, but they didn't. There was a centurion with a real sick servant. And he sought Jesus out and found him. He found out, tracked him down wherever he was and about his servant. There was a paralytic man, and his friends had to carry him to Jesus. There was one, remember that one guy? They were so determined. I think the determination was with the guy that was sick, but he had some friends that was about as determined. And they had to carry him up and take the tiles off the roof and let him down through the roof, get him down there to get him healed, man. I'll tell you what, man, that guy jumped up and leapt around, man. Listen, all those things. Listen, that could have been an excuse. Well, Jesus is in there and we can't get to him. How many of you here tonight, if we was having a service, man, we knew that God was really going to show up in a big way, how many of you would go ahead and get a ladder and get on the roof and knock a hole in the roof and get down in here if you had to? How many of you would do that, man? I mean, you know, think about it. We would have a built-in excuse, man. I mean, we had somebody show up one time here not too long ago, couldn't get in because the door was locked, man. How much trouble would it be to knock on the door to get in, huh? How much trouble would it be? Come on. Give me a break. Those could have been excuses. They were not excuses. There was one woman that had an issue of blood. I think she had it 12 years, I think the Bible said. Talking about excuse now, an excuse. A woman with an issue of blood. It's not a good deal. But she went through a crowd. There was a throng of a crowd of people. You know what she wanted? She just wanted to touch. She just wanted to touch him. Just to touch Jesus. This was the effort that she put forth. And Jesus healed her, you know, and how it went, but he ended up and he healed her. There was a woman, I put this text down, Matthew chapter 15. Let's see, verse 21. It says, it's verse 22, just skip over 21. Verse 22 said, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, and have mercy on me, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from her master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole that very same hour. Man, what a great, there's a great message right there, a whole message in that thing right there. Here was a woman that, the disciples tried to discourage her from getting to Jesus. And they said, listen, just send her away. We're not going to let you get there. And they did just about everything. You think that would have discouraged her off. It don't take a lot to discourage people today. Man, you say one little wrong thing, somebody gets their feelings hurt. Or if you don't call somebody up when they got a hangnail, they're going to get their feelings hurt. If you don't do anything that, you know, that they think you're supposed to do, which, you know, you got to be a musician to figure out what that's supposed to be half the time, then somebody's got all upset. Well, I'm not going because, you know, they said this and they said that and they didn't do this and they didn't come see. And everybody's all discouraged. Here's a woman, man, that the disciples say, and send her away because he's driving us crazy. Basically, what they're driving us nuts, just send her away. And she just kept on. I don't give a hoot what you think. I'm going to get to Jesus, and I don't care what. And then it almost seems like that Jesus himself is almost seemingly was discouraging. It said he answered her not a word. He didn't say nothing. But how many times you ever pray and you don't feel like God's hearing? Sometimes I know he is, but do you ever pray sometime and you just feel like God's a long way off? Huh? God's not getting to you. You ever pray like that? Keep on praying, man. Keep on praying. Keep on praying, man. Just keep on going. You know, like Harold said, push. You know, pray till something happens, and keep on praying. And so they did. And you know what? There's the desperateness of the situation. Now, to get you guys right here, listen, she had a daughter that was vexed with the devil. Man, listen, you know what? You know, if you got kids that are lost, man, you need to be on this altar right here every single time we have an altar call, praying that your kids make sure that they're safe, praying that they'll get right with God. Do you really want to wake up one day or think that and your child pass away and you're not sure whether your child is in heaven or in hell? Can you imagine the realization coming that your child is in hell? Man, that's a serious situation, man. I mean, she was desperate, man. She said, I'm going to Jesus about my child. She had a built-in excuse. Man, she had the disciples look like they were discouraging her, and it almost looked like Jesus was as well. But she kept on. She following after Jesus, no matter what. Not worrying about what everybody else thinks. And then the third point right here, consider the consequences. In verse 62, it says, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And Jesus was saying, listen, this is what he's saying, listen, follow me and don't look back. Remember that rich young ruler? I mentioned him a little bit earlier in the message. Remember him? Jesus said, well, listen, you know, what do I have to do to have eternal life? And he laid off some, you know, I've been good to my parents, this, haven't done anything. He said, well, sell all your money, get rid of all your money. Not that you can buy salvation, and that's not what you always have to do. Jesus just knew the man's heart. He said, sell it all and you can follow me. And he said, he went away sorrowful. Huh? He counted the cost and he said, it ain't worth it. He counted the cost. He said, I don't think it's worth it. But he really didn't understand. He couldn't cut the connections to that old life. He just couldn't do it. Somebody said, Satan is in the business of selling rearview mirrors and he'll install them for free. Huh? He'll install them for free. He always wants us looking back. Remember the old Israelites when they came out of Egypt? And God was taking care of them. Man, I don't know what manna tastes like, but I bet it tastes good. It tells you in the Bible it tastes a little bit like honey, and I like honey. A little coriander seed, it tells you it's on there. And there was manna down there. God provided. If God provided, it's good. If God provided, it's the best. And they whined and whined and whined. And then he finally sent a bunch of quails, made them eat it till they got sick. Got there, and quails are pretty good too, but you can get sick eating anything. But you know what it said? They kept remembering what they had in Egypt. Well, they remembered the wrong thing they had in Egypt. They said, oh, we remembered him, and they named off a bunch of vegetables, you know. You can't preach this to kids because they don't like them anyway. They remember, oh, we remembered him onions, and we remembered him leeks, and I ain't real sure what a leek is, but if we remembered him melons and all this stuff that we had in Egypt. Yeah, but they forgot about you as a slave. He was a slave to Pharaoh, man. They was making you make bricks with no straw, for crying out loud. And you worked and worked and worked. You was slave. You forgot all about that. They remember the wrong thing. They look back and they remember what they had when they look back over there in Egypt. And a lot of times, that's why Satan wants us to look back like, oh, remember, man, when you used to go out, boy, New Year's Eve, remember that? We used to go out, boy, with woo-woo. He was just party, man, and we was drinking, boy, and it was a... You done forgot about the hangover that you had the next day. Felt like your head was going to blow off the top of your shoulders right there. Thought you was going to die, heaving your guts the night before. You done forgot about that. Oh, and all the money that you blew doing all that stuff. And then all the fights and things you got in. You get all drunked up and everybody getting an argument over nothing. They don't even know what they're fighting about. And then fights and all that stuff. You done forgot about all that. You're just looking back. Remember that fun you had when you was lost? Keep looking back over there. Boy, you could be. Tonight, man, you wouldn't have to be down here listening to this preacher. Huh? Preaching the word of God. Oh, you could be sitting there in the Lazy Boy with a pizza crust on your belly watching the basketball game or whatever you want to do, goofing off like, you know, the rest of them are. we could do that. Remember, he wants you to look back. Winston Churchill said, if the present is quarreling with your past, there can be no future. If the present is quarreling with your past, there can be no future. You know, some look back. There's a lot of things you can look back at. Some people look back and they're content with yesterday's success. Some people just look back to their salvation. Well, you know, I'm content. I got saved. Like I said this morning in this morning service, you know, what's God doing in your life right now? Well, you know, or what has God done for you? Yeah, well, I got 40 years ago, I got saved. What's he done since then? Nothing, man. That's not it. They just look back at that and they're content with that. Say, you know, Satan will like you. He wants you to be content with that too. He can't get your salvation. He can get your testimony for sure. Some look back and are controlled by yesterday's sufferings. They're controlled. Their life is controlled by yesterday's sufferings. All the things, all the circumstances of life back in the day, it's got a hold on them today. They can't get nothing done today because of that. Then some look back and are confined by yesterday's sins. Some look back and are confined by yesterday's sins. Listen, man, we just need to follow Jesus. The consequences. He said, listen, if you're going to look back, if you don't want to follow me and you want to look back, he said, they're not fit for the kingdom of God. That's the cost. I mean, that's the cost right there. Count the cost. Cut the corner. Cut the connections. Consider the consequences. Follow Jesus. Listen, just follow me to a different life. Follow me to a better life. The consequences of not following are suffering eternity in hell. That's the consequences of not following Christ. Like I said, the end of the book. Count the cost. It's worth it. It's worth it following Jesus. Let's all stand with our heads bowed.